All right, another Friday rolls on and another Talking Travel with our travel guide, Sally Lucas. G'day, Sally.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I've got no idea where we'll be going today, so give us a snippet.
Well, I was reading an article about dining on cruise ships, and I was just reflecting how much it's changed since the early days of cruising. So I thought today I'm going to talk a little bit about, I guess, my experiences in the travel industry. So I'm going to call it Reflections.
Oh, Reflections. That's a good album title, that, actually.
and a little bit of other bits and bobs as well. But
all right.
Yeah.
Sally Lucas with her album Reflections as part of Talking Travel on 2NURFM. Our travel guide, Sally Lucas, here, who is kind of reflecting today on how many years she's been in travel. Sally, if you say it faster, is it quick? Is it not as harsh?
Oh, I don't know. It just sounds like I don't think I'm as old as how long I've been in the industry. That's the way I feel.
Are we saying the number or not?
Oh, 5 and 8. That's 13, isn't it?
That's 13 years. still some changes in the last 13 years, so more so in the last 58. But what got you onto this was the idea of how things have changed in the cruise ship industry and even just the food alone.
Oh, look, I can remember the early days when I was on P&O cruises, Sitmar, all those wonderful old lines, the Chandra's lines, the Greek line, oh, my God, Flotta Lauro. You didn't have any specialty dining. There was just the dining room, or there might have been two, depending on how many passengers are on the vessel, and you had two sittings. That was it. It might have been 6, 15 and 8. And well, I always went for 8 because 6, 15, you were rushed out. They had to clear the tables and make way for
smart.
The second sitting. So yeah. I used to take second sitting and I'd go up to the cocktail bar and have my little pre-dinner drinks and do that. And so then I wasn't rushed out. And if I happened to miss the start of the show, which often the shows start, so the people that wanted to see all the shows would go to the early sitting and the others.
And if you, well, what's the show on tonight? I don't really care too much about that. I'll just sit in the dining cart and have a good laugh.
Yeah. And so nowadays you've got everything, the whole gamut with cruise lines, and so many of them have got specialty dining. When specialty dining first started, you had to pay. You know, you could still eat in your normal restaurant that everyone eats in, and if you wanted to go to the spec, you had to pay. But then there's a lot of the ships now are giving you free range across the whole lot and making it all-inclusive.
And so become more competitive in that space.
It's very competitive. So, you know, you get on board and everything, your drinks, the only thing you have to pay for those shipping companies, I mean, Viking's one, there's a lot of them out there. Just check with your travel agent, with whichever company you're travelling, if what their offer is, or if you're looking for an all-inclusive offer, you know, we can certainly advise you on that. But if you get the all-inclusive offer, the only thing sometimes you're not going to be allowed is maybe the top of the range, like a Grange or a top of the range Scotch or a top of the range champagne. You may have to pay extra for that, but your basic everyday wines, champagnes, you know, coffees, teas, everything, you know, even you'll get, and a lot of them now are giving you an introductory shore excursion at a port. So just to orientate yourself, and then you book others after that, or some of them are giving you a credit, an onboard credit. So yeah, it's come a long way. Like the old days, you know, one lot of dining, that was it. Occasionally you'd have it was nearly always buffet, or not always, but it was often buffet. But you got a lot of meals because they'd have a morning tea and they'd have an afternoon tea and then they'd have dinner. Then you'd have supper. They'd put out supper at 11 o'clock at night.
Sounds glorious.
Or occasionally you'd have a buffet on deck. So look, and I was reflecting, thinking, wow, yes, not just cruise ships and not just cruising has changed, obviously, in the amount of years I've been in the industry. Like the airlines, the type of aircraft we fly now, the quality of food has improved in what you're getting on a lot of airlines. I'd say some are still on the...
I was waiting for the asterisk there to sort of, you know, the disclaimer.
Well, we've got the budget carriers, which once upon a time you didn't have budget or charter airlines very much. You know, it was all just your Qantas, your Air New Zealand, your British Airways or British Overseas Airways Corporation, it was called when I first was started in the industry. But, you know, your food wasn't too bad. But then you had, of course, your charter operators who provide no food or you purchase food or, you know, like even within Australia now you don't get any meals like with Virgin domestic or Jetstar, you've got to pay. So those sort of things have changed so they can give you, supposedly, and often they do, cheaper airfares.
Having said that, I mean, if you, most of the flights, certainly from our region, you want an hour and 20 minutes.
Do you need
a
meal?
No, you don't. Like,
well, that's my theory. I would rather have a cheaper airfare and not worry about a meal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on a flight of 5 hours or so, like, you know, like from here to Perth is a pretty long haul without a meal, but I mean, what we do now, because we do fly with Virgin, because our son works for Virgin, so why wouldn't we? But we'll buy a nice sandwich or a wrap at the airport before we leave, and rather than buy the airline food, and we'll have that halfway through the flight.
And of course, you'd be then still paying the airport prices too. Oh, ham sandwich, $27.
Oh, yeah, not quite as dear as that. But usually we go on an early morning flight, so they're freshly made, so you know you're getting it fresh. Whereas you think, how long has it been on the plane with the airline food and all that sort of stuff? But, I mean, you know, as I said, things have changed. But, look, you've got so many wonderful cruise lines now, like Regent, Seven Seas, Oceania, Azamara, Ponong, Viking, as I mentioned, UniWorld River Cruises, Seabourn Cruise Line. Now, the difference with river cruises, you're not going to get that multiple dining choices because they're only small vessels. Mm. So, and if you're an exceptionally small vessel that's only taking 100 or 100 to 200 guests, you've probably only got one dining option.
Okay.
Because that's because of the size of the vessel, obviously. So just remember that. But certainly on any of these larger vessels now, you're getting certainly far more choice. Like I know even when I had an inspection of a Viking cruise when it was in Newcastle, ship rather, when it was in Newcastle recently, the decor, like compared to the old ships, Viking covers all their balustrades in leather. I mean, and is he Norwegian or Swedish? Yeah, I've forgotten now. Isn't that dreadful? But anyway,
Scandinavian.
But like all the furniture's blonde. There's beautiful wide passageways. You know, the restaurants are so tasteful, so beautifully decked out. You know, the Italian restaurant really looks Italian. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the specialty restaurants. And I looked at some of the menus. I thought, this is quality. This is quality food. Mm. And, of course, they're getting a lot of guest chefs on board now or preparing the meals like they do on the airplanes, like Neil Perry for Qantas and so on, like Luke Mankin, you know, does a lot of the dining on ships, and various other chefs are now involved in the actual meals and preparation of the food and preparing their menus. So you're certainly getting a more upmarket product than you would have back in the old days when I started cruising.
All right, but I know that's hard to give up that 11 o'clock supper at the buffet. That sounds pretty sweet. And 11 o'clock, the food's food. Talking travel on 2NURFM 103.7. Our travel guide, Sally Lucas, is here. And are we doing the reflection stuff first, or you want to do the other bits and pieces first?
Might do some other bits and pieces, to mix it up.
And we're going to get cold to start with.
We're going to get very cold. So this is just a little quick explanation if you're not sure which part of the polar region you'd like to go to, the Arctic or the Antarctic. And the quick way of describing the Arctic, it's an ocean surrounded by continents, whereas the Antarctica is a continent surrounded by oceans.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
So just remember that. That's your North Pole and your Sea Pole. Now, the Arctic Ocean is covered by a thin layer of perennial sea ice, and in summer, the ice's edge retreats towards the North Pole and then it regrows again in winter. With the Antarctic, the continent is covered by a very thick ice cap and it's surrounded by a rim of sea ice. And in winter, the ice expands only to melt back to the continent's edge in summer. So it's different, isn't it? Interesting.
It is different how that all works. Either way, it's going to be cold.
Either way, well, I've just got some temperatures here. The coldest recorded temperature in the Arctic in December 1991 was minus 70 degrees centigrade.
Okay.
Okay, and the hottest was in June 2020, which was 38 degrees. Now, that is hot, centigrade.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
38.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Mm. But their summer average is only from minus 4 to 6.7. And yet they
cold.
Had a 38.
Yeah.
So that's, but this is what's happening with the planet, isn't it? That's only 2020 we're talking, where they're taking an average over whatever.
Exactly.
And then Antarctica, the coldest was recorded in July 1983, -89.22.
I mean, how do you even?
I can't even imagine that.
How is it even possible to prepare for that?
Well, I don't think you could. You wouldn't be down. I mean, these people that live down there obviously have to, manning the stations, because they're down there, you know, all year round. So I don't know how they do it. And the hottest was recorded again February 2020. That must have been a really hot year.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting? And that
one
was 18.28 or nearly 19 degrees centigrade.
It's almost like normal.
Well, that's right. But like when we were down there, we were very lucky. It was December, which was summer, of course. And I think we only got down to about minus 10. And it was quite bearable. It only became unbearable if the wind picked up, as you know, like your old wind chill factor.
Gotcha.
And we only got that on one day, so we were really, really lucky. And the other thing, of course, is your wildlife. What's the difference in the wildlife there? Well, obviously, no polar bears in the Antarctic. Everyone seems to think sometimes you're going to get polar bears there, but you don't. And there's no penguins in the Arctic.
Yeah, you get one or the other.
But you do get other wonderful wildlife. Of course, other than polar bears, they have walruses and Arctic foxes and reindeers and the elusive narwhal. And, of course, down the Antarctic, you've got heaps of different varieties of penguins, of seals, of whales, everything from blue whales to minke to humpbacks to orcas to, you know, the whole gamut. Amazing lot of bird life as well, other than penguins, of course. And, of course, there's no Indigenous inhabitants in Antarctica, only the people that are on the permanent research stations, whereas on the Arctic you've got more than 4 million people call the Arctic home. So, you know, it is, there are different, there's horses for courses, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
And the other thing I thought I'd touch on, Mark, is we've talked about this before, but not for a long time, but packing tips to ensure stress-free travel when you're travelling, things that you should do these days, like just to be kind to the planet, take a reusable drink bottle that you can just keep filling up, and insulated if you're going to hot countries would be a plus if you could get an insulated drink bottle. An extra pair of glasses if you wear them, or a script at least in case, and I've known so many people where that's happened to. One of them was unfortunate. She had them on her head and was leaning over a toilet and down they went.
Yeah, they're done. That pair's done.
It was done, absolutely done. A torch, or you've got your phone now, of course you can use, but if you don't always want to, you can get those little small LED light torches, which are wonderful and got great light as well. A laundry or wash bag, laundry soap or liquid, you know, to do a little bit of hand washing that you might want to get done. You know, one of those little portable clotheslines, you know, that like, it twisted together, you twisted so you don't need pegs, and you just, and then you can string them across your bathtub or whatever. Even if you want to take a small portable weigher, like you get these small weighers now, if you're worried about coming home, collecting extra luggage, you don't want to pay excess, etc. like that. This would go for cruising as well, obviously, because you've got, you know, limited in your cabins, a lot of them are much bigger today, I know, but you've still got limited space. It's not as big as home, you know what I mean? And then hand sanitizer these days, of course, and antibacterial wipes, of course, and any little bit of things like you might, like a little medical kit, whether it's some Betadine, some Band-Aids, you know, some painkillers just in case, like you strain something, some Voltaren or whatever. So, yeah, just, and if you want to pack, everyone has their different ideas, but I think packing cubes are great. Those little zip-up, soft packing cubes, so you know all your undies are in that one.
Yep.
You know, all your T-shirts or whatever are in that one, all your 90s and bras for the ladies, the lingerie or whatever that one, the men all their undies. You know, I think the packing cubes are great. People believe in rolling. I mean, you can do a bit of both, some packing cubes, some rolling, whatever. But, yeah, just make it so that it's easy. You're not having to go and wham, 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 lift everything out of all these layers you've got in your suitcase, that you can just lift out one little pack at a time and get what you want out of it.
Oh, look, it all helps, doesn't it? In fact, you may have seen there was a news story the other day where the conveyor belt at the Denpasar Airport in Bali just got out of control, and next thing there is dozens and of suitcases all on top of each other. No security around to get rid of it. So, I mean, firstly, hope they didn't have anything breakable in there. And if they had those little packing cubes, everything would be a little bit, a little bit tidy.
I do think it makes life a lot easier. And I just thought we'd finish for this segment. We've still got our hot deals, of course. But a couple of little, I was looking up some inspirational short travel quotes today, and I'm sure our listeners have heard some of these before. But take only memories, leave only footprints. And I think that's even more important today, with us all being more concerned about the planet, that this is what you do when you're in a country. You know, you're really vigilant about it. You know, and you walk along some of our streets today and see just have people toss rubbish, and that upsets me so much. There's often a bin just there.
Always the way, isn't it? You walk past the garbage.
And you think, how do you live at home? Is that what you do at home? Do you just throw all your rubbish on the floor in the kitchen or the lounge room? You would hope not, but why do it when you're outside? Mm. Anyway, that's just one of my little bugs in life. Live your life by a compass and not a clock. I think that's a great one. I think it's quite funny. Travel makes a wise man better, but a fool worse. Anyhow, interesting, isn't it? People don't take trips. Trips take people.
Ooh, that's very deep.
Yeah, and life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
That's a little bit too deep for us on Talking Travel. But, Sally, we'll have a little bit of those hot deals on the way shortly as we continue with Talking Travel. Our travel guide, Sally Lucas, who was reflecting on her time earlier in the travel industry, 58 years. So what happens when we get to 60, Sally? Is there a big bash of some kind?
I've got no idea. Hopefully I'm still around.
Well, you better hurry up and start the planning phase on that.
I should make that a special year of celebration, shouldn't I?
Absolutely. So keep it in mind, 18 months to go. All the hot deals that are happening around at the moment.
Okay, well, if you're still thinking about, as we've talked about today, the Antarctic or the Arctic, but the Antarctic at the moment, you can save 20% off selected 24-25 sailings with Aurora Expeditions. Plus, they're giving you a US$2,000 air credit per person. And if you are able to book and pay a deposit before the end of the month, you'll also get a US$100 onboard credit. They also have some for 2025. They've got some lovely savings as well, savings of up to 25% as well, of certain itineraries. So just check regarding the fares and availabilities. And don't forget, if you do go down to the Antarctic, you do have that option with a lot of the companies now, including Aurora and quite a few others, to camp on the ice, which is quite an experience. You know, a really thick, obviously, sleeping bag.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're prepared for that one.
I remember my husband did it with our son. I didn't do it. I was a bit of a wuss. And they did it, and he woke up during the night and couldn't find the ship, and he thought, shit, the ship's gone. Yeah. It's gone. It's left us. But the captain had to move because an iceberg was getting too close.
Oh, well, they don't like those. Funny about that. Ships and those big floating blocks of ice. We don't like this.
He wasn't left behind after all. The ship just had to move. Now, something completely different, if you like the warmer weather. There's an early bird offer on some lovely Croatian cruises now for 2025, savings of up to $600 per couple, and you can receive a $200 per couple, what they call a Discover More travel voucher, which lets you do all sorts of extras with all sorts of itinerary highlights, with walking tours and touring islands and captain's dinners and some beautiful. These are on small ship vessels. They're just gorgeous, and that Dalmatian coast and all around that area is absolutely stunning. So keep that in mind if you're looking for something warmer. We're mainly talking cruises today, by the way, you might have gathered. Hurtigruten is also, I know Marky loves me when I talk about Hurtigruten.
Oh, it's the greatest name of a company. It has that... I can't describe it. I just like the name.
I know. Well, from October this year, you know how we were talking earlier about inclusivity now on a lot of the cruise ships? They're doing the same. They're going to add in daily excursions and activities, your three meals a day, your soft drinks, wine, beer and spirits throughout the day and evening, Wi-Fi and gratuities. So starting from October this year, that's a great plus as well. It's really, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? That you just you've paid your money. And that's it.
It's done.
Except for any of the extras you want to do when you go ashore, or as I said, you want those upmarket drinks or cocktails. So I just think it's a fabulous way to go because you know exactly where you are financially, and it saves having to worry about taking a lot of extra money with you. And talking about that, as Mark and I were talking off air as well, insurance. It is such an important part of travel. And there was a recent letter in the weekend on the Sydney Morning Herald about it. A travel insurance company who they gave great accolades to because, you know, they'd taken the right policy. The husband had a fall, suffered, you know, some bad injuries, hospitalised. They paid for the wife, put her in a hotel, got the son to fly over, help with getting dad home, all of that. So when you buy an insurance policy, I always say don't look at the inclusions, which can be pages long. Look at your exclusions because that's a lot smaller. And once you look at that, you might say, oh, I'm not covered for that, but I need to be covered for that. Well, that's when you'll start looking for a different policy. But just make sure you've always got one that gives you enough cover to be repatriated home, to have to pay for those additional hotel costs or bills if you happen to have an unfortunate fall or injury that you require that extra hospitalisation, or you might have to be flown home business class or medevaced or whatever. So please keep that in mind. Getting back to the hot deals again, Ponon have got some fantastic cruises with return flights included on the beautiful Kimberley. And I was watching that last night. Ernie Dingo, he had one of his NITB programs based actually at the Horizontal Falls and going all around the Horizontal Falls and doing a lot of it by air and sea. Oh, my God, just reminded me of when we did it 13 years ago, I think now. What a beautiful part of our country that is. So if you haven't done the Kimberley yet, oh, look, just do it. Put it on your bucket list if it's not there because you won't regret it. It's just one of the very special parts of our country, and I think our country is so special anyway. We've got so much to offer here, as well as, of course, us talking about overseas. But, yeah, there's a lot here. Tassie, Lord Howe, Barrier Reef, if we don't let it all bleach away. But Kimberley, you know, so much on offer.
Plenty to see. All right, Sally, we've run out of time, so a bit of reflecting, a bit of common sense stuff and a bit of housekeeping as well. We'll catch you in a fortnight from here for another Talking Travel.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.